You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Tane.
And I'm Aide, and this is Altar Call on Patreon. Hello, everyone. Aide here. We are out this week, but we will have a recap of this week's Reunion Part 2 episode up next week. But while you wait for that, we have our Love is Blind Season 6 Part 1 recap. Hope you enjoy, and we look forward to being back with you next week. Bye.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a bonus episode. And today we will be discussing Love is Blind Season 6. Hi, Aide. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited to talk about Love is Blind because we're back.
I have a lot of thoughts about this season. I saw a tweet that was like, before I had watched, I saw a tweet that said, we just need to admit that Love is Blind, the only reason it was created was so that Lauren and Cameron could be together. And I was like, oh, the season's that bad? And then I watched it and I was like, I don't know what that person was talking about. And add to that, there's a lot of other couples. We have babies on the way. So as much as Lauren and Cameron are like number one, I think this season is putting Love is Blind as a TV entertainment back on top.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if it's an unpopular opinion or an opinion. I think Lauren and Cameron are great, but I don't know who made them the queen and king of Love. And I think what they have that everybody else doesn't have is they were the lightning in the bottle. This is a wrong analogy, but they were the first to do it where we didn't know what to expect. And I think they were also an unlikely couple and it worked out. So yeah, I will give them that. Nobody else is ever going to, you can't have that strike twice. There will never be a season one twice. So that's what they have. But I mean, I was telling someone the other day that say for season two, which is the worst season, the one with Dipti, Shake and all that, to me, that's the worst season. Every season has a couple that are still together, like you said. So, I mean, it's a bona fide matchmaking so far. It works. Situation. So yeah, I don't know, but I mean, I'm just glad that we're back up, because after the shit show that was last season, it's easy to say the only way is up, but if you compare it to MAFS, the shit show that was last season of MAFS, we were like, the only way is up. And I don't know if we're up. We're up for a little bit. And now I'm just like, what are we doing? So I'm happy.
I guess it depends. What are you looking for? Are we looking for romance and love? Are we looking for entertainment? Are we looking for both? And which one is more important?
I mean, I'm very vocal about what I'm looking for. I want a balance. I want a balance of romance. I want a balance. I'm okay with the messy, which is why Love is Blind is superior. And that's why last season was shit, because it was all mess. There was, yeah, one couple that everyone is still surprised they're still together. But that's how, you know. But yeah, I just want a balance and I want that. We barely even have couples this season. We're barely hanging by a thread and we're just piecing things together for content that it's just, you know, I don't know.
So we're going to do an update on the previous couple. So let's get into that.
Okay. So for Love is Blind previous seasons, there's been a lot of updates. After the shit show that Vanessa Lachey got for asking relentlessly, babies, babies, babies. I couldn't believe we're doing that in 2023. But her wishes are coming true, and Alexa and Brennan are having a baby. Congratulations to them. And she did share that it was a rough or tough journey for them. They had to go through fertility treatments, and she put out this story and saying, you know, just be gentle when you ask these questions because you don't know what is going on behind the scenes. So congratulations to them.
She was too kind. What she should have said is STFU about other people's reproductive choices. Because as you can see, when there's something to say, they will surely tell you. So shut up.
I just thought that was common knowledge, but okay. Also, Zach and Bliss, who arguably might actually be the queen and king of Love is Blind. Like, listen, I can admit I wanted Bliss to say no. I was not a fan of this. No one should be second choice. I didn't think this was going to last, but every little video that comes across my feed that I see, they are so cute. They seem to be so happy, but they are having a baby too. They recently just had their baby shower. They're having a girl, and Alexa and Brennan are having a boy. And, you know, the rest of their season 4 cast members were there to, not all of them, which Marshall and Kwame did a video. And Marshall was like, one thing season 4 is going to do is support. We're here. And then Marshall was like, not all of us. So, but Tiffany and Brett were there. Kwame and Chelsea were there. I don't know. Who else was there? Was that it? They're the ones that usually hang out together. Marshall was there. Which, of course, Marshall is engaged too, by the way. So, you know, a bunch of happy news for the season 4 people.
I find it very interesting. Who's still hanging out? Love is Blind, I think, is the TV show that has produced the most, wow, I can't believe they're still together. Like, on Married at First Sight, usually when people stay together, it's expected. With the exception of, like, Jamie and, I forgot her name. No, the other Jamie and Beth.
Yeah.
Who are now broken up. But there are quite a few Love is Blind still togethers that you're like, what? Amber and Barnett. Still together just as long as Lauren and Cameron get about a quarter of the love. Not even. Yeah. the aforementioned Milton and Lydia.
Yep.
I was team Zach and Bliss before you were team Zach and Bliss, and I'm happy that I was proven, you know, that that was a good thing to be. But yeah, it is a little shocking that, you know, second pick is still together. Yeah, I think Love is Blind. I think this may say something about the editing of the show, by the way. Colleen and Matt are still together.
Yeah, they are. So, yeah, that's the thing with Love is Blind. With Love is Blind, it's very hard to do predictions because you just never know. You just never know. But yeah, so I think season 4 might be the most successful season, safe to say.
Which is insane, but yes. How are you judging that they're the most successful? Do they have more than 2 couples still together? Is it 3?
Yeah, and I'm going to add Kwame and Chelsea to that list that I'm surprised they're still together.
Same.
So, yeah. But anyways, good for Kinetic. I mean, good for Love is Blind, good for us. But based on the first 6 episodes, I really enjoyed it. It was enough balance for me. The editing, they may be feeding us lies. Speaking of feeding, they're feeding them this season. There is food. People are having dates with food. You're not going to catch them slipping.
I think every season now we're going to see lots and lots of eating and someone leaving. Every single season. If people left before, they didn't mention it. Now they're going to be like, oh, no, they left. They're not being held prisoner here. They left.
They're like, what are the boys eating? Oh, there's eggs. Oh, lots of bagels. There is food, guys. But okay.
A full tray of sushi each.
We can get into the season. Right from the very beginning, I'm not sure why this was a choice, but it was kind of like they gave us spoilers. Like, you see who made it. Well, okay. I should say, like, do they announce who the couples are ahead of time? Because I always try to avoid it.
In Scouring, I didn't see them announce any couples ahead of time. They just announced the cast ahead of time. And many of the cast that they announce aren't in couple, aren't, don't end up engaged. Some of them didn't even end up in like consideration for engagement. So do with that what you will.
Or they didn't show it to us, because I rewatched the beginning, because in the beginning, I didn't know who anybody was, but they showed people that were, they tried to do a cutaway, but they showed people who made it to the honeymoon and all that kind of stuff. So I went back to watch it again. And there's a man like they showed in the pod. He was one of the black men. I don't know his name. And he was literally crying. And I do not recall having any scene at all. But like, we know they... We have people who are engaged, they just don't show them at all or show their journeys on the show. And that is one thing I'm very curious to know, how they decide who makes it to the honeymoon, who makes it to TV, and how do they film these couples? Because like last season, they all went, but they also had like a group meet. How do they cut them out and how do they have them in there? I'm very curious about that.
So compared to last season, based on the things that we saw, either they edited people out of the group scenes or it wasn't as bad as last season and they didn't actually have any extra people in the group scenes because everybody we saw was a cast member and they showed it to the party to us. Maybe they just laid off the wide shots.
But they showed us parties last season because I remember Milton and Lydia and all of them hanging out and talking. And I was curious how they cut them out. So that's my curiosity, is just, that is great editing, I would say. but in previous ones besides last season, we've had couples that were engaged or some that made it to the honeymoon, but they didn't make it to our TVs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they do that, because I'm sure they're at the group meet.
Last season, they very specifically did not show us the whole group meetup on the honeymoon.
Yeah. All right. So we meet some of the cast members, and I don't know if they've ever mentioned a specific number in previous seasons, but this season they mentioned many times that they're dating 15 people. Did you catch that?
I did. I think they mentioned it before.
Oh, okay. I never got it. This is the first time I heard that it's specifically 15 people. We meet Jessica, who I thought was very pretty, and Jimmy and Jessica are connecting very fast, and we also meet Matthew. Matthew is, the word I could only think of kindly is methodical.
Did he describe himself that way?
I cannot remember.
But that was your perception of him.
Yes, as soon as he said, I have 15 questions, pick a number, I'm like, okay. And it was just hilarious when he didn't expect to be asked a question back. Like, thought you were dating and they were not going to date? Like, what was the thought process?
I don't know. Despite his questions, he still managed to... create a connection with a couple people.
Yeah, but it took him a while to get there. So just to give more context about Matthew, like he, at some point, someone was talking. He literally walked out on them. Which is absolutely like really rude, but I don't want to, I don't know. Matthew is just different. Matthew is not a social person. Even with the guys, he does not interact with them. He does not like to be touched. He does not want to have like a regular conversation with them. So off the bat, like we just know that he's different. And I'm just like, I don't know if they knew that before casting him. And this is the part where I would say they cast that for the drama. But then it comes like, well, should you cast someone like that who doesn't want to interact with people and is quite frankly just rude? You know,
I am of the firm belief that you can do all the casting you want to. These people will show up on this show and do whatever they want. They'll fake like they're the life of the party, show up and not talk to anybody.
I am willing to bet money that I don't think he faked it. I mean, he told us flat out in his interview, conversations with emotions is not where I will excel. He said that. Mm-hmm. And Matthew is the kind of person, I would just say that right out there, that this is where I am. So I'm just like, kinetic strikes again. This is just, we know this is not exactly going to work, but it would be interesting to see what that reaction we can get from him. But, you know.
And at the end of the day, he was great TV.
I mean, I guess. I mean, he did manage to make not one, but two connections, except they made the choice not to show us his connection with Amber, which again,
oh, that was beautiful. I thought that was wonderful editing. Because I thought that I was watching another beautiful connection being made. I was all in it. And then that bucket of cold water, they could have done it either way. They could have done it the way they did it, which is where Amber recounts the conversation to AD. Or they could have showed us. And I actually thought it had better dramatic effect, mainly because the story was not actually about Amber. As we continue on, AD is the story. Yeah. And so for her to like receive the information that way, I thought it was excellent editing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about the way that it was delivered. So at that point, after she finds out, I think just feeding us a little bit flashback conversation would have been nice. Because I also want to believe that Matthew was capable of making two connections. I mean, to our knowledge, it could have been more, and we don't know because of the things that they usually hide. But like, good for him, because I fully expected him to make zero connections. And he really was a different person with AD that I really just wanted to see how he was with Amber.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you make can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Summer is coming and it is time for all of us to go on vacation. You can use the money you earn from EarnIn to buy a new bathing suit or some new clothes for your fun summer vacation.
Download EarnIn today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in AltaCall on the podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's AltaCall on the podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max, see earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just curiosity, really. So I think the best line, not the best thing, but the best line was when AD said that when I see a red flag, I just paint my nails red to match. That was the best line of the six episodes to me, because I'm like, I mean, she was giving us a heads up because no one is more red flaggy than person she ends up with, but yeah. So we meet AD. AD is a dancer for the Patriots. I don't know if she is still or not anymore, but she was at some point.
Oh, okay. I just knew I picked up on that she was a dancer for a professional sports team. And because this cast is from North Carolina, I just assumed it was the Hornets, but it could have been anybody in the past or whatever. I could have missed that completely.
Yeah, she's the Patriots because Clay always calls her my Boston girl. She's from Boston.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah, they did mention that it was Patriots. So I like her. I like her demeanor. My only problem is, I know everyone's been ragging on her for that, but before I even saw that, I was avoiding spoilers, so I muted everything. But the hump on her weave, I just needed that to be taken care of. And it's funny because I think she's seen all the comments on there. She posted a video of her stylist like flat ironing her hair to blend in real well. And I was like, oh, social media, they will peer pressure you into doing stuff.
I just wish people, all I see is a big long weave. I don't notice errors in installation unless they are really, really egregious. I didn't think hers was that bad. If Twitter hadn't told me, I wouldn't have noticed, despite the fact that I watched her on TV for 6 episodes. I get confused. I'm like, how do people, I just don't understand. I think I'm actually pretty bothered, actually, that every time a Black woman goes on TV, people have to talk shit about her hair, no matter what it looks like. From Beyonce to Rihanna to everybody. Oh, her hair doesn't look good. Oh, her wigs don't look good. Oh, her weave, it's Gabby Douglas. It's always something with somebody's hair.
I don't think it was, I don't think it's everybody, but hers was egregious. I stand by that. So, she gets along pretty well with the ladies. I think this season, a lot of the ladies are trying to keep their cards close to their chest and they're not really sharing stuff. I mean, they say that, but then we see them share stuff, but a lot of them are saying like they're not going to say who they're talking to. They didn't want to hurt each other's feelings. And I actually don't know what is the better approach. Is it better to just share and then so you actually know what you're doing and you're not lying to yourself, or should you just keep things to yourself and then hope that everything works out for the best? Like, if you were in the dating pod, what would your approach be? Would you share or would you not?
If I was in the pods, I would not share anything. But this always comes down to what is better TV versus what is being a good person or being in a good situation. It's much better TV when everybody's talking. It's actually better when they talk just enough to piss each other off without giving full stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, they are saying that they're not going to share, but they can't help it because it's just the nature of life. When you like someone or when you have like you're in like, you just want to tell the whole world. So that's why you see them run and whisper and it becomes Chinese whispers and then it just kind of spreads. So they're saying it and they think they're not saying anything, but they're actually still talking because somehow all the tea was spilled among the women. So it was interesting to watch. So with Jessica and Jimmy, they had a connection really early on. And Jessica had already told the girls and us from the very beginning that she had a kid when she was younger. Younger being 18. She's 28 now. Her daughter is 10 years old. Her daughter, Autumn. And she hadn't shared with the men yet. She wanted to date them a little bit. And then she decided to tell Jimmy. And I'm just, this was a tough thing for me because I'm like, when is the right time to tell someone that you have a kid? Because on the one side, the guy has a right to choose, hey, do you want to be a stepdad? Do you want to be in someone's life? But then it's like, she also has a right, like what she was saying, like to get to know them and then figure out if this is the right thing to do. But then if it's not something that they want, you seem like a dick if you decide it's not what you want afterwards. So I don't know when the right time is to tell.
I think we have to go back to, should single parents be on Love is Blind? I'm going to go with actually a no, and I stand by it. I don't care. I'm not saying single parents don't deserve to date or don't deserve to find love again. I don't think you should be going on Love is Blind as a single parent.
Will that apply to MAFS also?
Yeah. Okay. If you, I think there's a, as much as I'm supportive, because I watch these shows, of people going on dating shows, I don't think this format of very quick decision making is conducive to relationships that involve children. Because if there's anything about dating when it comes to having kids, is you have to take the proper amount of time for everybody to get to know each other, for everybody to be comfortable with each other, for everybody to figure out what role they'd like to play. if you're going into a TV show where the end result might be a marriage, it is a disservice to your child and in some ways to yourself to go on a show like this. That's just my opinion.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense because they only have, what, 4 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time they're living in an apartment. They're not living with the kids, so they don't get to know. I will say this. I am a little colored because on Love is Blind Brazil, a lot of them come in there with kids. I don't know. Somehow they make it work, and some of them are still together today. Some of them broke up, and some of them are still together. Natural path of life. But, yeah, I think that makes sense. In the Brazil ones, they do meet each other during those 4 weeks. They're not living with them, which I guess is not reality, but they do get to meet the kids and all that kind of stuff. So, okay. Okay, I guess that's your answer. Just don't have them at all.
But still, back to your question. It reminds me of Michael and Michael and Chloe and went to tell her that she was, you know, the second round. And I think the thing with kids is you have to say it fairly early.
Yeah.
And this is what bothers me, but it is a factor of Love is Blind in that they are so shady about timelines. Like, we have no idea how long Jimmy and Jessica had been talking before she said something about her kid.
I think it was a couple of days when they formed a connection, but she was upfront saying, like, I'm not going to say it early or upfront. I don't know how long they date for before they propose or anything or whatever, but it was after, because his first thing was, why didn't you tell me earlier?
Yeah.
Because it will take a couple of days to actually form a connection and then be like, oh, this is my top, this is my whatever. So I don't know.
What do you think hurt that she said it too late, or did you agree with her timing?
I think that the situation sucks, but I think you have to say it early. You have to say it like, what is Milton's wife's name?
Lydia.
When Lydia would be like, hi, I'm Lydia, I'm from Puerto Rico. Hi, I'm Lydia, I'm from Puerto Rico. I think Jessica should have been like, hi, I'm Jessica, I'm from here, I'm this, my family this, and I have a 10-year-old daughter. It should just be a part of your intro and your bio, because it's that important to you, and it gives people time. And I think she kind of did herself a disservice in that she could have weeded Jimmy out very early on. So kind of like the show Ready to Love that I talk about, there's a lady on there who has kids and she doesn't want to have any more kids. Every time she meets someone and goes on a date, she's like, do you want more kids? I don't want to have any more kids. So you get to weed out all the people. There's some people who are like, oh, if I don't have a kid, I'm okay. If I want more kids, she weeded out all the people who wanted more kids. So I think Jessica should have said it right from the beginning. I don't know what she was waiting for, really, but it would have helped her get to the people and gauge their reactions and decide if that was a top connection or not.
You said that the women, one of the things they wanted to do was play it close to the vest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how this is going to play out throughout the whole season, but I think an issue we ran into this season is people treating this like a competition. And I feel like Jessica, I think that she had a competitive mindset. And so she was like, I don't want to eliminate anybody by telling them that I have a kid too early.
Yeah, that is a very good observation. You just said it, and I think I agree with that. They were treating it like a competition. You're right. And yeah, I think she saw it as baggage and she shouldn't have seen it that way. But,
and it's funny. I actually loved all the time she talked about her daughter. I thought, especially when she got into more of her background, and I could actually understand why having a child at 18 for her was like kind of a good thing. I think she needed her daughter as much as her daughter needs her, probably. But I just thought her whole relationship with her daughter sounded beautiful, and her daughter sounded like a cool kid.
Yeah. And it's undeniable that she actually, like, she loves her daughter. So, Jimmy did not have the right reaction. I don't know what the right reaction is, but the man wasn't ready.
He was not ready.
And they're just questions about Jimmy, because I think at some point later on, he says things like, I want to make sure that my family also wants to make sure. He seems like someone who's very stuck on what his family thinks. He's not the kind of person that would make his own decision by himself. Like, he would want the approval of his family, which is not wrong, but there are two kinds of people in that camp. There are the people who are like, I really value what you say, but this is what I want to do. I just want you to come along with me during the ride. And there are people that are like, well, if they don't approve, then no, I'm not going to do anything unless you approve. And I think he falls in the latter camp. So you could see the wheels turning in his head. And as if he hadn't had enough, his other connection was Chelsea. And then he got a double whopper with Chelsea. And she's like, oh yeah, I've been married. And it's just like, I didn't tell you. And he's like, no.
I found that whole thing to be highly bizarre.
Okay.
I'm like, is it really that big a deal that someone who's in their late 20s has been married and divorced before? Especially when the story is like, I got married, what'd she say, 18, 20?
And yeah.
I just didn't think it was that. The way he acted like it was this huge deal. Her first marriage was treated like Jessica's child, and that blew my mind. I was like, those are not the same thing.
Well, they're not the same thing, but his choice of words were, yours is the least surprising. I was more surprised by the other news I heard. And I'm like, why are you? I have a problem with people discussing their other connections with whoever it is that they're talking to. I just thought it would be common sense. Like, don't bring it up. Nobody wants to hear that. It's already bizarre that you're dating people that, quote unquote, live together. I don't want to hear the details of that. So, yeah, but it's not the same thing, because one requires you being responsible in a little kid's life, and the other was something she did when she was 18. Although, to be fair, she told us that it was 18, but every time she was talking to him, she just kept saying, when I was really young, and she didn't specify, even though that shouldn't matter. So I think what he was hung up on was that he would be married to a divorcee, which, given Jimmy's profile, it seems like that's a big deal. Oh my God. So, I mean,
I felt in the beginning, I was like, am I being too judgmental of Jimmy? Because I really didn't like him very much, basically from the start. But, you know, this was just a predicator of the fact that Jimmy sucks.
I mean, if he ends up single after this show, I hope that someone judges him for going on a dating show. Since he wants to be all judgy and he'd meet someone who's like, well, I was on the show Love is Blind, and the person's going to be like, ugh, ew. I hope they do that to him so he knows how he feels. Going back to, there's a triangle between Clay, AD, and Matthew. Matthew is not talking to anyone, so it's not everyone keeping this up. He's just not talking to anyone. So, Clay suddenly starts, asking AD about what she looks like. And that was very strange to me, because I think this season, from my memory, is the most we've ever had about people asking about what they look like, which I thought was against the rules. But maybe they don't have those rules.
It is not against the rules. And people decide on their own how much they want to talk about what they look like. I am floored. I am blown away. And I'm slightly pissed that these people will come on a show called Love is Blind and have this much conversations about looks.
Why do you come on the show if you need to? And he's like, that's something that's really important to me. Again, sir, Love is Blind. Look it up in a dictionary, what blind means. So that was a very, and I like how AD handled it, because I liked her saying, like, I'm not going to validate that. I'm not going to tell him what I look like. Like, you have to decide that you're okay with me not knowing what I look like. I actually thought she was going to describe, because we know what she looks like, and I felt like she fits his spec. So I just was really, really hoping that she didn't, and I'm glad that she didn't.
I must say, I'm going to try not to be all like, wow, AD is so great this whole episode, even though that's how I feel.
Why are you trying to hold back on how you feel about AD?
And this is why, like I said, some of these women were treating like a competition. She genuinely was like, with this man, if you're that hung up on my looks, it's okay. And I thought they were broken up after she left that conversation, because she's like, if this is not going to, I'm fine. Bye. I loved that for her.
Yeah. On the flip side of it, when she was talking to Matthew, AD asked Matthew about race. And honestly, I couldn't tell if Matthew could tell that she was black.
Which was crazy to me. And then I was like, AD, what conversations have you been having? I'm going to say it. If you were just listening to AD talk, I don't know if you could tell. However, you could never talk to anybody and they actually describe their life experiences and they're black and somehow you don't know. Like, I'm confused by what conversations they were having that he couldn't somehow not know she was black.
I don't know. Matthew goes through the world differently. So I'm not exactly, if he really didn't know, it's not quite surprising that he couldn't tell. But to your point, what conversations are they having? So, anyways, after Clay did his whole physical thing, and I think the thing about dating, so, you know, sometimes when you are comparing people, you could talk to one person whose pro is the other person's con. But in this case, they do it back to back. She just finished with Clay, and Clay is all about, what do you look like? I need to know. I need the 5'5", petite, blah, blah, blah. And then she's talking to Matthew, and Matthew is telling her, I will leave with you today. I need to ask your dad's hand in marriage. She's like, well, he's dead, so there's not really permission to ask. And they're just, you know, vibing, and he's giving her all these affirmations, and she's just like, oh my God, this guy's giving me and telling me everything that I want to hear. And then she goes back to the pod, and somehow Amber just starts spilling and saying something about her dad and everything. Honestly, sometimes it's usually like off by a sentence or two. It was verbatim what he told her, and I couldn't believe it. For someone who I thought was like, okay, Matthew's a straight shooter, Matthew's doing this, how could he tell her the same thing? And the whole thing was just so weird that I couldn't believe that Amber actually just left. It was so abrupt.
I think Amber only had one possibility, and that possibility was Matthew. So once she was done with Matthew, she's like, I'm out, because she knew he was a lying hoe. AD still had another possibility, so she's like, let me see how it's going to work with Clay. That's why she stayed. But yeah, it was really gross what Matthew did. It was really gross.
I'm not a fan of this abrupt leaving thing. Who did that last year with Uche?
I can't remember her name, but I know who you're talking about.
She just left, and I'm just like, why not just have a conversation and be like, hey, you did this, I'm not a fan of this, so I'm just gonna bow out. I don't know, I'm just not a fan of the abrupt leaving. Like, let's call them out and tell them what's going on. And this was a moment where I was like, why are we not getting a flashback on Matthew and Amber's pod sessions? But guess we didn't need to. But anyways, AD does confront Matthew and is telling him, like, you said the exact same things. He's like, I didn't say the exact same thing. And then it gets even more strange. This man starts saying, America is on my side. I'm like, is there a contestant called America? Because who is he talking about? Like, us? Or America is watching, and they're going to say that. And I'm like, this is the problem. Now we have a lot of reality TV people coming on here for God knows what. And I didn't think Matthew was the kind, but he's very aware of the camera. And
I don't think that was his first reference of camera or perception or TV. I think he had said something like that earlier, but it was just so... I'm like, are you expecting them to edit that out? Is that why you say those things, thinking that you will... Like, oh, they'll never put in how aware of the cameras I was?
It was very interesting.
Have you watched the show?
Especially given what he did. Like, you can't defend that. But he gets so mad, and he says that he's going to go chase after Amber or fight for Amber. I think he thinks himself the hero in a rom-com and he's going to meet her at the airport. So, I mean, it worked for somebody last season. So,
I was very curious if we'll see Matthew and Amber again. I also was like, why did Amber get to keep her name? And then Amber turned into AD.
She said she goes by AD.
Okay.
So
not just for purposes of the show.
I didn't give detail, but when she told Clay, she was like, oh, my name is Amber, but I go by AD. Because if it was going to be, if she wanted to go by Amber, I think they would have just called them Amber V or Amber D, like whatever their last name was. That's my guess. That's what they do on The Bachelor. So I just assumed that's what they do. But she said she goes by AD.
This is how we ended up with Barnett, whose name is actually Matt, because there was another Matt.
Oh.
That's why I was like, oh, why did she have to come up with a nickname? But anyways, neither here nor there.
Yeah. So, Brittany and Kenneth, we get introduced to them. Kenneth is Black and Brittany is not Latino. She's Caucasian, right?
Yes.
Okay. And he's a principal and she is a teacher, but they're 24 and 25. I just...
What blew my mind is Kenneth, the elementary, I think it was elementary school principal at the grand old age of 25. I'm just, look guys, my mother has been a teacher for like 40 years. I'm like, what world would we live in where Kenneth, a 25-year-old, would be my mother's boss? Or anybody else's?
I know, I was like, I didn't know you could be a principal at 25, but you know what? Good for him. But... you know, they talk about their backstory and it was just insane. Like, honestly, guys, people's lives are, I don't want to say fascinating because, you know, it comes with tragedy, but they're both, like, they both have twins in their family. Brittany's mom is actually a twin. She tells the story of how her aunt died in a car accident and her mom got pregnant with her and her mom gave birth to her on their birthday and she's never had a birthday alone. It was just, I don't know. I was blown away by the story, honestly. I just couldn't believe it. And they're the couple I'm actually rooting for.
Me too.
So.
I'll even give them that they did a fairly good job of explaining why, even though they're 24 and 25, this is what they want. And I think they both lost parents at a young age. And I think they both crave a kind of like stability. But I think they both have really good vision. Like they can so clearly articulate what they want out of life. And they want the same things. I'm very much team Kenneth and Brittany. But then I'm like, but wait, you're 25.
Yeah, that's the thing. But the thing is, I mean, usually at this point, we usually shit on people that are this young. But... again, they're a mature 24 and 25, and they genuinely seem to like each other. It's not a case, at least not yet, it's not a case of one person seems to like one more. They seem to be on the same level of like, which I like. So, I mean, yay Team Brenneth, I guess we can call them.
I enjoy their positivity very, very much.
Yeah. It's a good balance.
I think it's the youth, right? That's why they're so positive.
No, I don't think it's the youth. Because if you want to think of youth, think of the ultimatum. So, just, yeah, remind yourself it's not the youth. So, we go back to Clay. She keeps going on and on about her other connection, how he said the same thing to someone else. Once again, why do you think your connection wants to hear about your trials and tribulations with your other connection? But Clay does not know how to control his emotions. And he's like, why are you telling me this? Who is this person? Are you going to give me your name? And the minute she says Matthew, Clay loses it. Clay said, Matthew? Matthew?
He was so insulted. He was like, how am I in competition with that guy?
And he's like, oh my god, like if you have to think like, am I not good enough, like what are you talking about, what is going on? And it was just the most hilarious thing. And you know, she goes back, they have a fight basically, and they just don't leave on good terms. And then he goes back to the pod and he's quote unquote crying, but there's no tears. And he keeps looking up and darting. I'm like, is he looking for the cameras? Because I don't know what this is. And then somebody else there, Jamal, I want to say, was comforting him and, you know, telling him, you know, all of the things. And I think this was the part where there were three of them talking, and it was the Jamal and then another guy. And then he turned to the guy and was like, I mean, if it were you, no offense or whatever, I wouldn't be offended. I'm like, there are two guys there. Why didn't you say if it was any of you guys? You specifically picked one person. And I'm like, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. And, you know, Clay is the kind of person, like, he's been upfront. He's been saying, like, you know, my ego is too much. I'm not a good person. I'm not anything. And I'm just like, wow. You know, when you're a terrible person, but you're masking it under I'm self-aware, I don't think it makes you any less. Like, you should be not being a terrible person.
I think that's Clay in a nutshell. Clay does that thing. Maya Angelou warned us all against it. Clay tells us all the time how crappy Clay is. But then he says, oh, I'm going to do better or whatever the hell. And I'll admit sometimes I'm like, oh, should I believe this? But I think Clay just sucks. I think Clay even knows he sucks.
But you say this all the time on Maps. Always listen to the words or the word choice that they use. He doesn't say I'm going to do better. He says I want to be better. He wants to be a good person. He wants for his ego not to be, but it's still a work in progress. Jesus is still working on him. He's not there yet. I feel like, I mean, we talked about this earlier. There was just a lot more questions about ethnicity and looks, and I just thought they were not allowed to ask. I think we had a person ask about values, and I think she said that she's a patriot.
Oh, Lord. I was like, where were you on January 6th? I think she was talking to Jimmy.
She was. That was Sarah Ann. And I'm like, okay. She's like, I lean conservative, like, you know, do that and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, okay. At least they're having the conversation. So, and we didn't get to, wait, was it Jimmy or Jeremy? We didn't even talk about Jeremy. I'm bothered by the way he
spells his name. There's nothing to say. There is nothing to say. Jeremy and Laura had some good chats, especially stuff about her brother and how he'll basically need care for the rest of his life. And so if anything happens to her parents, it's going to be on her. And she just wants him to be on board with that. Like, that's what it's not the same thing as having a kid at all. But that's another one where it's like, well, when do you tell people? Hey, you know, I do have a family member that is going to become my responsibility probably at some point in our lives. Yeah. But everything she said about her brother, this is something I do love about Love is Blind, is the getting to know of people separate from the relationship, just hearing people describe themselves and their life stories and the things they've been through and why they are the way they are. It can be very interesting on its own.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think my last two thoughts are, I want to shout out Alejandra. I don't think she got a love story, but she was the agony aunt and a shoulder to cry on for all of the ladies in the house. And I'm just gonna mention that Chelsea was asked what she looks like. Well, she asked Jimmy what celebrity he looked like. And he never really answered that question, but she said that people tell her that she looks like Megan Fox. To her credit, she said it's just the light eyes and dark hair, but we don't look alike. Don't get excited. But Chelsea absolutely knew what she was doing. I had this conversation with Nana. You guys remember my other podcast wife, that she's like, no, that she said she didn't look like her. And I'm like, yes, but she knew what she was doing. Like, half the time when people say, oh, you look like someone, almost all the time they're like, oh, I don't see it. So he could have easily thought like, oh, she doesn't see it, but there must be a reason why multiple people have told her she looks like Megan Fox. And I'm willing to bet that is the sole reason why he picked Chelsea over Jessica. I think the kid thing he might have even gotten over, but I think that is the reason that he picked her. Like, I think that when that whole thing happened, because he told Megan that, so did I say Megan? He told
you sure did.
He told Chelsea that he loved her. And this was before he had made the choice with Jessica. So Chelsea gets back into the pod and then she whispers it to whoever. And then it spreads like wildfire. And then little Miss Laura goes up to Jessica and tells her, you need to leave. You need to leave. For your own self-preservation, you need to leave. I thought that was insane.
I felt like she was trying to get her out of the way for her friend.
Either way, it's insane.
It's insane, yeah. You can't be telling people to leave. That's a decision they come to on their own.
She's like, why? She goes, I can't tell you, but you need to leave. I'm like, whatever it is, it's not that serious. You better
tell her why.
Yes. And then she starts crying, and then they start comforting her or whatever. But I really didn't like that. And I'm glad that she did not leave. She did come back to confront, because that is my philosophy. Come back and confront them. And then they keep going. And this is where, to your point, where you're saying that they were all in a competition. Jessica makes that, you know, she does the whole speech, like, you're going to regret it. When you see me, you're going to choke. You're going to eat your EpiPen. That you're going to regret about what I look like. Because she's inadvertently kind of saying, like, I look better to her. I look better than Chelsea. So you're going to regret it when you see what I look like.
That wasn't a good look for her. And the other thing is, she kept on, like, going on about how she's too direct and that's why he doesn't want her. I never heard him say that. I never heard him say that. So it felt like she invented a reason why he wasn't supposed, why he didn't like her. And the whole choke on it thing, like, I gave her grace. I'm like, okay, you're getting broken up with. Say what you want. But I didn't think that Jimmy treated her badly. I think this is what happens on the show. You have choices and you got to pick one.
Yes, that is true. But I hope we find out in the reunion. We're never really going to know. But honestly, when she said it, I didn't actually disagree with her. Jimmy is an indecisive person. Jimmy is the kind of person who needs, I don't know if it's his mommy or his family, to help him with the decision. And he kept saying, I've never met someone that is as direct as you are, or I'm not as direct as you are. And I don't know if direct is another word for a not submissive woman. Like, Jimmy didn't flat out come out and say what he's looking for, but all his vibes read, he wants a traditional woman. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I do think, like, while it might not have been a deal breaker, I do think it was a con, if he's making a pros and cons list, that I don't want someone who's so outspoken, who's so out there, as the person that I'll pick. Again, I don't know if it's facts, but it's just the vibes that he was given. But I do also think that he just picked that what Chelsea won by was, well, at least I'll have someone that looks like Megan Fox, because guys love having a baddie on their, you know, on their arms to tell their boys, like, look what I got, look what I bagged. So, yeah.
I'm going to feel terrible saying this, but it just is objectively true. As far as, like, society and what we consider, what looks good, Jessica is more attractive than Chelsea.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, if Jimmy was a man that was truly there because love is blind, it should matter more about the connection and not necessarily about the looks. But also, we should just admit, rewinding, like, the whole premise of Love is Blind is kind of laughable. Like, looks matter. Love is not blind, guys.
And that's why they generally don't have anybody who could be considered unattractive on the show. Not a one, ever.
So we have the reveals. We have Johnny and Amy, who we didn't talk about because, honestly, they are forgettable, but they're cute. They're cute, but they're just, you know, there's nothing to talk about, really. Exactly. They do the reveal. They're both 27. Johnny seems so shocked, but overall they seem happy with what they see and they kiss. I liked her dress. I find that in a lot of reveals, most people are wearing like something form-fitting, something tight or whatever. And she wore something that was kind of like loose, and I mean, it was see-through and all that, but it was cute. That's an aside that I just noticed, but yeah.
I agree. It was the black one with the like
yes.
detailing. Yeah, I actually yes. really liked her dress too.
Yes, with the gold on there and that. Then we have our little youngins, Brittany and Kenneth. Brittany's 24, Kenneth's 25. Kenneth does share with us that this is the first white woman he's ever dating or will be married to. We don't know if this is Brittany's first foray into dating a black man, but Brittany does say that. She has dated a black man
before.
Oh, okay. But Brittany does say that Kenneth identifies as a black male. I don't know what that means, but it was an interesting choice of words.
I took it as a positive.
Okay.
The same way that I don't understand how AD could have spent one conversation with Matthew without him knowing that she was black by her describing her life experiences or what it was like growing up, or any way that you could describe any type of her life and she not tell him, or the way the stories go, he should know that she is black.
Yeah.
I think that Kenneth, when Kenneth and Brittany talked, he did speak in a way that there was no confusion about, I am black and I live my life as a black person. And I'm hoping that's what she meant. Like, he identifies as a black man means he considers it part of his identity, and he talked to me about it in the pods.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I thought she was just saying, she was trying to not say the wrong thing, just to simply say that he's a black man. Because I was just like, identifies as a black male. I was like, okay. All right. They're both wearing black. They just hug. Something we didn't mention is another thing they connected in on is they are both people of faith. They believe in God and they share that and they both practice it. They even talk about waiting till marriage he did ask her and says, what are your thoughts on that? And I wonder if she had said, I'm okay not waiting, would he have been okay with that? I don't know. But she said she wants to wait till marriage and he said he's fine with that. And when they revealed was the first time I actually thought that she looks like Jamie from MAFS. Season one.
Huh. I didn't think so, but I'll take a second look.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it was what I expected. A lot of hugging. I didn't know if they were going to kiss at all. They do, but it's like the kind of peck, not anything as passionate as the rest of the couples. But, you know, they're cute. Still rooting for them. Clay and AD meet. AD is 32. I think I missed Clay's age. And AD reminds me of Paige. And they meet each other. I was looking intently at his face. He seemed happy. They were hugging. He kept calling her baby. They kiss immediately. He doesn't know how to propose. Actually, he did not say anything. He didn't ask, would you marry me? He got on one knee. He was like, do I just slide it in? And I was like, that sounds sexual, but okay. And then he put the ring, then they sat down and they were talking. Now, my friend made a comment, because I also saw it online, where they said their first meet was cringe. And I didn't find it cringe at all. And I asked my friend why she thought it was cringe. And she said it was just really over-sexualized, like AD trying to show him her butt, because I think he's mentioned is something he likes, and him kissing her back and all that. And I watched it again just for that, and I did not find it cringe, and I thought it was fine. What did you think?
I had the same initial reaction as your friend, but it's very hard to articulate. When they're meeting for the first time, we want them to be attracted to each other, to be complimenting each other, to think that the other one is attractive. And yeah, Clay was doing that, but this is going to sound strange. There's like an objectification there that wasn't as cute.
So I hear that, and that's exactly what I told her. I said we talk about this a lot of MAFS, and it's always like when these people meet in this kind of situation where they haven't seen each other before, you want to start them off on the right foot, which is like, let them be attracted to each other and then go up from there or whatever. So it was there. I think what makes it quote unquote sleazy is Clay. Mm-hmm. Because of who he has presented himself to be, but I don't want to judge him because later on in the honeymoon, you hear him say, I have to be cognizant of that. I want her to feel like a queen. I don't want her to feel like it's that. But where is the line between, like, she feels very validated because when you compare that to Chelsea and Jimmy, I would take AD and Clay any day all the way. And even AD, like, turning around, like, oh, look, do you like that? Do you whatever? I just thought it was mutual. And she just kept saying, you're so cute. You're so cute or whatever. But no one's saying that she was objectifying him. So I don't know. I just, as long as it was equal and they both liked each other and she was comfortable, it felt fine to me. I'll take that again over, you know, Jimmy and Chelsea. Jimmy and Chelsea were the next one.
Talking of which,
it's so hilarious that while he was doing his confessional, he had a Freudian slip and he did say Jessica. And he's like, oh man, oh my God. So they meet. He has practiced his smile in the mirror so many times. They hug. He looks at the camera like, guys, are you kidding me? And all he keeps saying is, you're gorgeous. You're gorgeous. It's like you put a coin in something and wind it up. Oh, man, you're gorgeous. You're gorgeous.
I don't feel good laughing about this. This poor woman who is a perfectly attractive woman. Oh, but anyway.
I mean, again, this is what I told Nana. That celebrity question, if they say, who do you say you look like? I'm saying nobody. I did not get any. I am not setting up any expectations. I am not setting myself up for anything. But you tell someone that people tell you look like Megan Fox, the expectation is already there. So it's just, and that's the funny part though, Aide. I feel like if you look at a different angle, I can see where it is, but man, you gotta look hard to see where it is.
I'm gonna say it, okay? She could credibly claim that she looks like Megan Fox. Unfortunately for her, and this comparison, Megan Fox is at least, I don't want to put a number, Megan Fox is skinnier, okay? I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah.
So, to me, and like, because she's skinnier, her face is like skinnier. Ergo, yeah. She does not look like Megan Fox.
Yeah. And Chelsea has more of a forehead. I don't know. She should have just not set herself up at all for that at all. But yeah, it, besides the looks or anything, I mean, which he does mention in the confessional, he was like, yeah, she lied about what she looked like to me. She said she looked like Megan Fox. It was awkward because he suddenly starts telling her, yeah, man, last night, I almost went home. I'm like, if you are so sure about your decision, don't tell the woman you just proposed to that you almost went home. So from there, I think the insecurity already started. I think Chelsea, I don't know if independently Chelsea was already, she told us, I'm sorry, that she's a little insecure and she felt like she was unlovable or stuff like that. And then to have a partner who is not reassuring you and is telling you that they almost went home. Not a good first, but, you know, they made it through. They made it through. So
something we forgot to discuss is Chelsea's other choice, who I don't know if it was the case if he didn't get in fast enough, Mr. Mullet Man Trevor. Because when she met Jimmy, I thought to myself, I think this would have been better with Trevor.
Yes, 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 yes. You are absolutely right. How did we miss Trevor? I don't know. The internet is in love with Trevor. But it goes back to what you said, the competition thing. She just wanted to win the competition and win Jimmy. But honestly, Trevor asked her when she broke up with Trevor asked her the right question and said, so you'd rather go with someone who's not sure about you versus me who's been sure about you from day one? I don't know. We got to fix up. I don't know why we women keep running to red flags.
Painting our nails red and everything.
to match.
I'm not gonna lie. My hope, I mean, now that I've seen everything, we got Zach and Bliss. I'm just like, I really hope at some point that Chelsea gives Trevor a chance. And from the previews, I think that might happen. Because I don't think Jimmy and Chelsea are going to work out. We haven't even gotten to the honeymoon. I already don't think, I'm like, this is not going to work.
yeah. Okay, but that's what we thought about Nick and Danielle. And I mean, they're not together now, but they stayed together for at least a year because it's pretty much the trajectory. I find it very interesting that it seems like there are prototypes every season. And it's like they have a different prototype that shows up every season that with a story that we've seen before. All right, we have Laura and Jeremy. This is my least likable couple, only because individually I don't like them as people. I don't have any valid reason. Jeremy's like a man child, and Laura just gives me bad vibes. Laura doesn't seem likable to me. So I don't know, but they were also in the love triangle with Sarah Ann, I believe, and Laura, and he decided to go with Laura. I don't know what the deciding factor was, but yeah.
They, right. I mean, besides the fact that he spells his Jeremy with an A where there should normally be an E, nothing about him and his love triangle registered with me.
Oh, man. But I think we're going to see them in the future, too, because I think he meets up with Sarah Ann or something. So we shall see. All right. We're headed to the honeymoon. And this is the first time they are going to the Dominican Republic because they usually go to Mexico. Is that right? Or is that wrong?
That is right.
Okay. They go on there and somehow Jimmy is still talking about Jessica. And I'm like, read the room. You're on your honeymoon with your fiance. Maybe don't talk about that. Chelsea seems to know that he's a little disappointed because this is the beginning of an unending ask for a lot of reassurance. Are you happy? Are you happy? Do you like what you see? And he has to answer all of it with a smile on his face.
I am going to tell you my theory on what Jimmy was up to from the moment he met her.
Oh,
I don't think he's a decisive person. I think people do this stuff sometimes. They don't even know what they're doing, but they're doing it very intentionally. Mm-hmm. I am just of the belief that he wants her to break up with him. And from the very beginning, he's doing stuff, little things, big things, to ensure that result. What?
Okay. I can see that if I gave him credit. I really just think he's a clueless man.
Oh, I don't think he's as clueless as he's... No, I don't think he's clueless.
Hmm. Okay.
I think he's intentional.
I mean, all this to say, again, the previews. All I see is Chelsea screaming, "You fucked her! I know you did!" And I'm just like, I can't wait.
Who is her? Who is her?
Surely it's not Jessica. Anyways, so the first night, everyone's getting to know each other. Their rooms seem nice. They seem to have private, like each room has its own pool and stuff like that. The next morning, it seems like Amy and Johnny are the only ones that have had sex. Because Amy's telling us that the physical part is good. She has no complaints and all that good stuff. It's going to be a long road for Laura. Because Jeremy was doing a lot of childish stuff, splashing water on her, telling her she had to do that. It's like, you know, having kids and except it's an adult that you have to babysit.
I would just like to say that it's very clear, very early on, that Laura hates Jeremy.
Clay and AD, like honestly, every scene with Clay and AD was just, should have just been a different shade of red flags because they have a conversation where he talks about her body, but then he tells her that if she gets out of shape, that he's going to tell her like, of course I'm going to tell you, like you need to get in the gym. And AD is politely trying to tell him, like, that's not nice. Like, I'm going to have kids. My body is going to change. Because I think it all started with her saying that she doesn't waste her calories. And he's just like, you look good. You don't have to work out. You know, and she goes like, yeah, I do, because at some point it's going to change. But he was insistent on the fact that, no, I'm going to tell you. She's like, you need to be nice. And he's like, no, I don't need to be nice. You need someone to tell you the truth. And I'm like, what? So they go on and on and on. And he's just like, my ego, but this is why I like you. You bring me down. And I'm like, but you're not a project. Like, this is going to be a long road if she has to keep teaching you stuff. Like, how do you not know that it's not nice to talk to the person you love that way?
Because it's not about being nice. And this is why Clay really sucks. Let's just say that one day AD is not as, her body is not as what it looks like today in some point in the future. For someone like Clay, it really is about, I don't want to be out in these streets with anybody who doesn't look as good as I think that they should. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let the outside world have me on my arm with someone who's not good enough. Yeah. So this is, it has, that's all it has to do with. That's why he's like, oh, I mean, you need encouragement. It's not about encouragement, man. It's about you and your ego and what you want other people to see you with.
Yeah. But then where do you go from there? Because he's just like, yeah, you know, I don't feel good about myself. So I just say these things and it's like a defense mechanism. It's almost like I'm going to put it all over there so you can't tell me what I don't already know. So
I just feel like Clay is dropping your warnings, AD. You have to listen to the warnings. The man is not lying about who he is. You need to know that you probably shouldn't be with this.
The only other thing I had was like, Chelsea just has more questions for Jimmy. And it's just an interrogation session all the time. Are you happy? How do you feel? Are you feeling good? Do you think this? And I'm like, you should have just gone with Trevor. You never would have doubted. Like, for sure, okay, I don't know this man, but Trevor is one person that I know did not care what the person looked like.
I think I'm sad on the inside because I actually think that Chelsea and Trevor would have looked really good together.
Yes.
She and Jimmy look funny together.
Mostly because of Jimmy. But but that's the funny part. Like, for those who don't watch, don't get us wrong. Like, just because we're saying she doesn't look like Megan Fox doesn't mean she's ugly at all. She is not.
She's
absolutely not. She's not. So, I don't know. Okay, so we have the couples meet all together. They all meet each other, excited to meet each other. We find out that Laura and AD are close. And I have the same feeling I have when I find that Sutton and Garcelle are close. It's just like, no, I don't want you to be close. But yeah. So the girls are having girl talk and all that stuff. And Jimmy is with Chelsea. And to 8 points, this man just turns to his newly minted fiance and says, that girl, oh, what's her name? I don't know. She is stacked. My job. Now, guys, I mean, again, AD's body is ridiculous. Like, she got a body, yaddy, yaddy. And she was wearing, like, a tight-fitting dress. Like, the ass was holding. The titties were holding. Like, she... Am I objectifying her? I'm not. I'm just trying to give you a visual for those who don't watch that she looked really, really good. Like, she stood out from all the girls. Like, it is what it is. So that doesn't mean that you should open your mouth and tell your fiance, who's already feeling a little insecure, and say she's stacked. He whispered that to her. And I think Chelsea's reaction to being uncomfortable by that was to shout it across to AD without a thought of maybe that might make AD uncomfortable. I don't know that anybody thought about that part.
I have spent way too many hours thinking about that whole interaction and trying to understand what Chelsea was thinking and what Chelsea was trying to do. This is my theory that I'm willing to throw out the window. But I think that she heard her man's express appreciation, and that's the kindest way I can put it, because he was objectifying her. Even the way he spoke, it was gross. And either she wanted to make it funny by like, hey, you're saying your body's good, or she was trying to diffuse the threat. Like, oh, if I yell it across the room, then AD is no longer a threat, even though my man thinks she's hot.
I think more the latter, but I don't think she even knew what she was doing. It was just a reflex reaction to one act like she's a cool fiance and, oh, I don't care. We can talk about hot girls, but also at the same time feeling insecure about that. And she just did it without even thinking.
It was wrong, by the way.
Yes. It was.
Because and I then, did not enjoy how AD then had to like act like this is cool. It wasn't.
Yeah. So I think as soon as she, because for AD, it's not just like, you know, girls, if you're talking and all that, but now it's a girl and her husband who are both shouting across like, oh, I didn't mean any disrespect. Oh, I'm just saying that. And it's just like an uncomfortable situation over there. And then he came over. And then that became a longer conversation. To be fair, they were talking about the relationship, not about the whole body thing. But
that man was flirting with her. That man, he was downright flirting with her while his fiance is like literally on the other side can hear the whole thing.
I don't think she could hear. Because what I was going to say was like, when you don't know, you will fill in the blanks. And those, when you do, you will drive yourself nuts. I think they were
at
trying to edit
point,
it.
Like, when they are at the bar, they were having, the conversation was ongoing. And she's at the bar ordering a drink. She can hear their conversation.
Oh, okay. I didn't think she could. Because, okay, at the bar. And then she left. Eventually, and they just continued, and then he came back again. I was like, oh, I hope you don't feel bad and everything. I was just, and then he gives her a hug. But AD was gracious and had the conversation. But then Chelsea went to the other side, and I think Amy was the one who saw that she was feeling what?
Sorry, I thought it was Laura, but go ahead.
Yeah, Laura joins them later. So Amy is, it's because Amy is forgettable. So Amy joins her at the bar, then they go sit there, then she starts telling her what he said about all the, you know, the body, and he just leaves her there and they're having a conversation. Then Laura comes and joins them and they're all talking about it. And as if he's not in trouble enough, Jimmy leaves the conversation, asks them, oh, can I join you? Girl talk, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes to Laura and was like, oh, you are my first date. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
This is what I mean by Jimmy's trying to get out of this. Everywhere Jimmy goes, he's looking for other I don't know if he's looking for other possibilities, but he's communicating without words how disinterested he is in his wife. I'm sorry, his fiance.
I mean, until you mentioned your theory, what I had down was that I think Jimmy is awkward. But, I mean, your theory applies to. So there are two things left that are of note to me. I see Kenneth and AD talking. And, you know, they're doing the whole, you know, black love. And Kenneth is just gushing over her and Clay that they look good together. He hopes he works out and all that. And all that stuff. But when earlier, Jimmy had asked her, AD, how she felt, you know, with Clay, how is it going? She said, you know, Clay is a lot and, you know, I have to get used to it and he's going to take time and all that. But when Kenneth asked her what she feels about Clay, she's like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with him. What do you think that was about?
I don't know. What do you think it was about?
I have no idea. This is like a tale of this is Chloe. I don't know if it was intentional, but I would think that she would be more honest with Kenneth. But I'm choosing to think she's obsessed with him. I didn't think that the whole he's a lot, which is true, Clay is a lot, but I don't know why she would tell Jimmy that. Because Jimmy is on auto response. Everybody who asks him, I'm great. I'm great. I'm so happy. I'm great. It's great. So, yeah, I found that interesting. And then we need to talk about Bindip, which I didn't know was a thing until
I did not know what Bindip was. I was so confused. I'm still not sure I know what it is.
I don't even know why it's called Bindip, but okay. So Jeremy is the kind of guy who thinks he wants to be the class clown and make everybody laugh and all that kind of stuff. I can imagine that this couple meetup is very stressful because they all want to show up each other and they all want to show, oh, I'm good. I want my husband to be proud of me. I want my wife to be proud of me. And everybody just starts acting out of, I don't know, anxiety, nervousness. I don't know what it is. I don't know if everybody's their true self at this group event. My take on that.
Huh. Okay. Do you think that they show up and they're like, I have to show how great my relationship is because this is a competition? Like,
yeah. Well, it's not a competition, but yes, I do think so. Because you see everybody going above and beyond. Some are genuine, some are not. Like when Kenneth got the chair for Brittany or whatever, and then the other wives, and for people like Chelsea who have insecurities, it triggers everything because it's like, why aren't you coming to me? Why aren't you doing this? For people like Clay, I just want to show off like, oh, I have the hottest wife among you guys. Like, it's just a lot of emotions going and comparisons. Like, it's funny how when they all had the conversation about who has had sex, in both the women and the men, Johnny and Amy were not around. So I don't think anyone even knows that they have had sex. So it's just that competition. Like, have you done this? Have I done this? Have I done whatever? But you can remember that that's what also triggered Danielle in season they were on, 2, where you meet with all the other couples and you start comparing, where do I stand? Am I as hot? Am I this? It's just a lot of, human insecurities coming out to play. So Jeremy's out there trying to be a class clown because honestly, I cannot for the life of me understand the trajectory of the conversation that led to him saying, oh, Laura said when you see AD, give her a Bindip. And I'm like, what? But we find out what a bean dip is when you slap someone on their boobs. And they used to do that in the pod. I don't know. That's right. Did I get that right?
From what they said, but I was like, but why in God's green earth would you call that a bean dip? I was like, was it something to do with cleavage? Like you stick your hand in? I didn't know.
But a lot of things were wrong about this. Laura, why?
Someone in the comments is coming to tell us what a bean dip is.
No. We're saying what it is. That's what they said it was on the show.
Okay.
To slap someone on the boobs.
Okay, I need someone to explain to me why in God's green earth that would be called a bean dip.
Yeah, that's what the question is. It's like, what is the correlation with a bean dip?
Yeah. The only thing I can think is that one of the girls got some bean dip on her shirt and one of the other girls tried to get it off her shirt by hitting her on the boobs. That's all I got. You're like, you should have kept that. I know.
I don't know. I just Googled Urban Dictionary and it says flicking a woman's breast with the index finger.
Oh.
So it's a thing.
The internet. What?
Yeah. It's dubbed bean dip because the move is similar to that of scooping up. Okay. All right. Anyways, Jeremy. Okay. First of all. Laura even saying that and the way she was so flippant, like it was a joke. It's not funny. It's another person. Why would you even joke that a man should do that to another woman? Jeremy, you're an adult. That is disrespectful. Why would you even say that in front of her fiance, in front of her, in front of anyone alive? Why would you open your mouth to say that and say, oh, it was a joke? And for Laura to be very flippant about it, everything was really annoying to me. Like, everyone is not considering AD. Like, now, is this something she's going to have to deal with the rest of the season or whatever? Or people's sexual... She cannot change her body.
Well, because you know what? That really... I'm going to disagree with you there. Because she tells us that she works really hard for the body that she has.
Okay.
So, okay. I'm not saying that she should change her body, but what should change is that everybody needs to stop this shit. And I don't care for these women. I am not pleased because I feel like AD keeps on being put in a position where she has to laugh off and act like it's okay that Chelsea and Laura think that it's funny to yell out to everybody, oh, my husband's objectifying you. Oh, I told my husband, well, at least in Laura's case, it was Jeremy's idiot who ran his mouth. But she just keeps being put in this position where she has to make everybody feel better about objectifying her, these assholes.
Yep. Let's not forget, all four of them. Jeremy said it, but Laura said it, you know, first. I still don't understand why that came out of her mouth at all. I mean, granted, they're all on the internet now. There was a People magazine stuff. They're all fine. They squashed it that night. AD said that she wasn't mad. I'm like, why? You should be. But they're all okay, and they're all good, I guess.
The only reason it is squashed is because AD did not call you all out to the carpet like she should have. And I take that back, because she should do whatever she wants to do. But it's only by the grace of AD that this is not an issue. The rest of us, it's an issue.
It is. Like, Laura just till today, I think in her statement, I think she was still saying it was a joke. Well, it's distasteful, but like, just own that and just say like, it shouldn't even have come out my mouth. But that is what happened. And she's mad at Jeremy, and Jeremy is mad, and Jeremy's like, I'm not doing this. And he wants to go home. And she's like, home, home or home hotel? He's like, home, home. And then she's like, oh God. Yeah,
you guys do not forget what I said. Jeremy hates her. She also hates him. And when he said he wanted to go home, I was not surprised. First, she keeps on saying he dresses like shit. They have been together like 2 days. Something about Hawaiian shirts. She just seems to have a general, I'm going to use this word again, disdain for him. And then the funny thing is, the whole AD thing, he has no right to be mad. She's the one who said it, and he's the one who said it to AD. So why are you mad?
Yeah. Yep, 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 yep. When you're a man-child, and you don't have discernment. But all in all, the night ends with Jimmy and Chelsea. And Chelsea, this conversation just ran me insane. Because you hurt my feelings. I love you. I don't know what you mean. I'm always going to say I love you. I love you. But I just want you to hear me. But no, that's not fair. It's unfair. I love you. Then she grabs his arm. But I just want you to hear me. Hurt my feelings. Babe, you're the one who announced it. He told you. He was like, oh, I hope that it's okay. She goes, oh, no. Oh, please. It's fine. Like, she's. And then you announced it. But she keeps going on. It hurt her feelings. I can understand how it hurt her feelings, but I don't know if they solved anything. All they kept telling each other was, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then one time he said, I love you. She goes, are you sure? I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be a nightmare. Insecurity is a bitch.
Well, the other part is that she wouldn't directly call him out for his behavior. Look, I'm going to say it over and over again. This man, after saying, oh, look at her body, then went over, had this extended flirty conversation with AD. And instead of being like, you went over there and flirted with another girl, I don't know if she was in denial. I don't know what her thought process was. But it was the same thing that happened when Kwame went and talked to Micah. A little bit different, but same thing. Mm-hmm. And still, she wouldn't call him on it, though. She's just like, well, I just feel like, she wouldn't call him directly on what he did.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. But yeah, that's how the 6 episodes ends. I was entertained. I enjoyed it. I am looking forward to the next 3. I don't know if you have anything else that we skipped over.
I would like to do predictions.
Before you do predictions, I do have one thing. The conversation with Kenneth and AD. I think it's a valid one where she said, have you ever dated a white woman? And he said, no. And he said, okay, do you think, because if you get together, if you have children, you're going to have black children. Do you think she can raise black children? And he said, honestly, I don't know, but it's something we're going to have to talk about. I think what she's saying is valid. I think she doesn't know him, but to trust that Kenneth has thought about that before saying it. But a little part of me also thought, this just, why put doubts? And it felt a little bit like putting doubts in Kenneth's mind. And I don't know if you had any thoughts about that conversation.
I think it go either way. I think you're right. Why are you introducing doubt into it? But the other part is like, this one is a baby. He's 25 years old. And because he has never dated a white woman before, has he ever thought about it? I thought she tried to be as like nice and gentle as possible, but someone has to ask the question.
Yeah.
Someone, yeah. I think for the children, someone has to ask the question. Is the right person AD? I don't know. He didn't seem like too broken up about it or offended, but I think he was honest in the fact that like, yeah, you know, maybe I should talk to her about that. Was he planning to talk to her about it if AD hadn't said something?
I don't know why I'm putting all my faith in Kenneth and he's just biding his time. But they talked about everything else. I would think they have talked about it, but I don't know. He didn't mention
it. You're funny.
But also, Milton was what, 24?
Yeah, yes.
And, you know, he was a little more mature than people like Uche, that was much older. So I think I'm transferring that youngin' stuff mindset into Kenneth, whether he deserves it or not. And I'm trusting.
Did you feel like it was disrespectful?
Kinda. I know that her intentions were good. I just think like maybe not now. Like for people that we don't know and we're just getting into our relationships, I think it was, I think it was, it was in good faith, but it just somehow came up as doubt. And maybe what threw me off is like, Kenneth also didn't seem like he thought about it. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but he also didn't seem like, because instantly he could have been like, oh yeah, we talked about this, you know, in the pods and whatever, but yeah. So that's what stood out to me. So yeah. Okay.
So before we go, do you have any predictions?
What predictions do I have? I don't think Jimmy and Chelsea are going to make it. I don't think Laura and Jeremy are going to make it. I have faith in Kenneth and Brittany, even if the previews don't seem to align with that. I have faith for Johnny and Amy. Clay and AD, I think, are going to make it, but are not going to last.
I agree with all of your predictions except for Clay and AD. We didn't even talk about how Clay was talking about, I didn't know men wore wedding bands. I was like, is this dude trying to plan his cheating before he even gets married, trying to run out in these streets with no wedding band? Then says, but I've seen people with the multicolored band. I was like, did you know about wedding bands or did you not know about wedding bands?
I think they had a miscommunication. He was asking, do men get one? And I think he meant for the engagement. And she took it and she goes, yes, they do. They wear bands on the wedding day. But I think he really was asking about during the engagement.
But then she had to explain to him who would be carrying the wedding rings on the wedding day.
Yeah, she just took it and ran and he didn't stop her. He just went, okay.
I'm looking forward to see how and if Clay grows and develops over these next few weeks. Because I think it's going to require him to grow a lot in a very short amount of time in order for him to be able to say yes on the wedding day.
It'll be a long project for AD. And I don't want, I want like soft love for my girl. I don't want her to go through it. But I also hope, like, this is what cures her of her red flags matching nails situation. Like, it doesn't have to be this hard.
I think she can do better than Clay. But we'll see.
Yeah, she can. She's great.
All right, guys, we'll be back later to discuss more of Love is Blind. We'll keep you posted.
All right, guys, let us know all your thoughts. We welcome it, we encourage it, and we want to hear it.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.